This is tape number DR2 of the research study Ribbons of Memories, an American Scandinavian Ethnic Heritage Oral History Program. The interviewers are Edward F. Sundberg and Gerda Sundberg. This is the 30th day of July, 1978.
And we are interviewing in the Frederikshavn, Denmark area. Would you go around this little circle and tell us who you are, giving your full name, and for you, Mrs. Fan, if you'd also give your girl name.
Okay. My full name is Kirsten Marie Fant. My maiden name was Kirsten Marie Fetters.
And where were you born?
I was born in Frederikshavn, the 15th of August, 1937.
That was fun. And the next person in line?
I'm Lars Fant, and that's my maiden name too. I was born the 16th August, 1962.
And you were born in this area,
yes,
also. And you are Mrs. Fant's son.
Yeah.
And you are?
I'm Eric Fant. And I'm born here in Frederikshavn.
And that is your full name?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my full name.
And when were you born?
In 1936.
1936. And? The daughter?
I'm Liz Fant. I was born the 2nd of August, 1959, here
in the
mm-hmm. Would you give us your parents' names like that?
Yes.
Yeah. My parents' name was Harry and Anna Sophia Fent.
And they lived in the Frederikshavn,
yeah,
area?
Both born here.
What kind of work did your father do when you were a young person?
He was, what is that now?
You can go ahead and say it, but in on Danish, if that's...
Møbelpolster.
Yeah, upholsterer.
Upholsterer, yeah.
And how big a family did you come from? How many children were there in the family?
There was... you mean Ein Familie?
Yeah, in your sisters and brothers.
One sister and one brother.
Mm-hmm. How many of your family have ever gone to the United States?
I have two uncles over there.
Oh, I see.
On my mother's side.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Kirsten? Would you give us the same information on your family?
Yeah. My parents' names were Martine and Geo Fetters. They were both born in Frederikshavn.
And what kind of work did your father do?
He was a welder.
He was a welder, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would each one of you give us maybe, if you had to say something about your parents, what would it be? Were they strict? I'm not talking about them, I mean, those who brought you.
Yeah.
Were they strict people? Were they easygoing people? What kind of family did you come from?
Well, my dad was more or less easygoing. My mother, she was more, you know, follow the rules.
Mm-hmm. And how would you characterize your parents?
Well, they were pretty straight types. So.
How much schooling have you had?
I've had 7 years in school.
In Denmark?
And yeah. And that's all.
Well, the same for me, 7 years.
And how about you?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, this is Lise who's going.
Yeah. How many years? Well, to start when you were 5 and you were 19, right?
13 years.
About 15, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And last?
10 or 11 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not done yet.
So
no.
15 and 11 years or 13 and 11 years.
Yeah. What kind of, first I think, you met here in Denmark and were married.
We were married
here
in Frederikshavn.
We were married here in Frederikshavn.
Yeah.
Did you hold any jobs before you were married?
Oh yeah, I did. I was working in a hardware store for some years, and then I worked on the shipyard in the office. until we got married, and then I stopped working.
What about you, Eric? What kind of work did you do after you were through with school?
I was an apprentice as a carpenter for, 5 years. And then I worked as a carpenter ever since.
Now, what did you know about the United States even before you started to think about going to the United States? What had you heard? What was your...
I really hadn't heard much about.
There wasn't, was there aunts and uncles who wrote letters?
Not before I met Eric. Then, of course, we had two uncles over there.
Well, I had their impression that if you want to work, there'll always be work for you. And if you're capable of doing what you say you can do, then...
Do you remember what or when you first started to think about making the big trip across?
Well, I thought of it first. It was before I met Kirsten.
Yeah, but that was Canada, though.
Yeah, it was Canada I was thinking about first.
What did you think about it for?
Just to try something else.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't one thing that triggered it. It was...
No. Mm. No, it wasn't.
What about your families when you started talking about going to America?
Well, in the beginning, they thought we were kidding. Absolutely, that's just, they didn't believe it. And I didn't either, because I thought for a while, oh yeah, he's putting me on. And then one day he said, well listen girl, you sit down and we talk it over now. And he asked me, do you want to go? And I said, no. Well, we talked back and forth and finally he got me convinced. So we pulled it all up and left.
Now you said pulled it up, how much of a home had you established at that time in Denmark?
We built a house and that was finished in 62.
Yeah.
So we sold the house in 63.
Now, and the children were born by...
They were born,
yeah, born
at that time.
Born, yeah.
How? What kind of things did you bring with you?
Everything.
Furniture and all?
Yeah.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
Did you have a place to go in the States?
Not really. My uncle was sponsoring for me.
Mm.
And we went to them for 3 days. Then we found an apartment. Started there.
Do you mind giving the uncle's name? Does that...
His name was Pete Berry.
Where did you go in the United States?
Los Angeles.
To Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Now, Los Angeles looks a good deal different from green and lush,
yes,
Denmark. What was your impression when you landed and saw what you had gotten yourself into?
I guess my wife was a bit...
I was
disappointed.
And I mean, if I could have turned around and went right back home, you better believe I'd done it then. I was so, yeah, I can't even express it. You know, to me, the States was huge buildings and all that. And what did you see? Just regular houses like here. I don't know what I was really looking for.
But you did stay with the uncle
for some
3 days,
yeah.
And then... Did anyone help you find a place to live, or did you have to do that yourself?
No.
I'll say my uncle, he went out and we found that apartment.
Yeah.
Not too far.
But you did some driving around yourself, though, and looking for it.
Yeah, but I find work myself.
Yeah.
The first job I had, I found that myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long had you been in the States when you went looking for that first job?
2.5 days, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
You moved into an apartment very, very quickly after coming to the States.
Yeah.
Tell us about your reaction to that apartment.
Well, have you ever tried to sit in an empty apartment with a card table, 4 chairs, and a plate and a spoon and a glass for each one, and then a little transistor radio and nothing else?
We had a telephone, too.
Yes, of course we had a telephone, and I couldn't speak to anybody or understand anybody. That was hilarious. I mean, the first time that phone rang, I was just tickled all over, and I told myself, what are you so wild about? You can't even understand them. So that was a big fiasco. That was awful.
What was the first thing you bought for the apartment?
4 beds.
Yeah, that's right. You
that's correct. We bought 4 beds.
How did you buy them?
When you now,
how much English did you have?
How did
my uncle's son, that's my cousin.
Yes.
He was 12 or 13 at that time. He went out and helped us buy these places. It was a connection my uncle had.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a good price on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the English was not that important in that first purchase?
Oh, no. Absolutely.
It was very important because I had a...
Oh, yeah.
But in buying the particular beds, maybe?
No,
it
didn't.
No,
no,
that's fine.
But as you now established your home there, would you reminisce on some of the things that you ran into, maybe because you had, your English was not your first language?
We had dog food.
All right.
Well, now, this is Lee speaking. Would you
yeah.
would you explain what you're saying to
us? Yeah, well, Mom couldn't read. Well, she couldn't read English. The first thing, then she just saw this thing with gravy and meatballs and everything, so she thought it was some kind of soup or something like that. So she just heated it and served it, and it didn't taste very well.
Then Eric's aunt and uncle came over, and she looked at the can and she said, did you get a dog? And I said, no. Well, what happened? I said, well, that was our dinner. You are kidding, she said, because that's dog food.
Oh.
You got a job in 2.5 days or so. How did you get along on the job?
I made out all right.
There were a lot of dangers.
With some difficulties.
Yeah.
Would you tell us about that first job that you had there?
Well, it was an old contractor I got to work for. And he didn't want to pay as much as he should, because I just took whatever he wanted to give me. And I worked for him for a couple of weeks. And then he told me he didn't have any more, and I don't think he had any more work either. But he still owed me $60, and he said he didn't have them. And I was hunting him for a couple of days. And there was a Texan working with him, too. And finally, the Texan gave me the money and said, I'll get him out of him. So,
how did you communicate with that Texan?
I guess he had a lot of patience, because it just worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he could show me what he wanted me to do, of course I could do it then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably how he kept me, why he kept me.
Do you children have any memories of those first few days in the United States? Do you remember it all, or were you too young? How about you, Liz?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember a few things from when we lived in the apartment there.
Now, what were they? What do you remember of that?
Well, I remember being sick. I think I had the flu or something.
Well, then the time last and you sat out in the front steps, watching the neighbors tell me.
No.
Don't you remember that?
Would you tell us?
Well,
You know, we couldn't speak English, we couldn't understand English. But then our next door neighbor, they had a television. At that time, we didn't have a television. And the kids were so eager to get outside and sit on the front steps, because the door was open and only the screen door was locked. They were sitting there for hours watching cartoons.
Do any of you remember the day that you were not thinking in Danish, but you suddenly discovered that you were now thinking in English? You didn't have it as a realist.
I remember the opposite.
I remember that.
Eric?
Yeah.
Would you tell us about that?
Well, it was kind of, the foreman when I was working was always kidding me about when I was counting something up. I said, there were so many of these and so many of these. And he would say, did you count them in Danish too? And one day I realized I didn't count them in Danish too. Because usually I did.
While you were in the United States, how much contact did you have with Denmark?
Well, we did have quite a few Danish friends over there we met. We went to a Danish club downtown when they had parties and stuff. They usually had a pretty big Christmas party, and we always went down there. And then Erik started working for Knudsen.
And that's a dairy people.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of Danish people there. So we really did have a lot of Danish friends over there.
What about letters forth and back to the old country?
Oh my. Well, I'll bet the postman was happy the day we came back here. Because he told me, boy, you write just about every day.
Yeah.
So,
at that time he sent us fish from Denmark.
Yeah.
Sent fish from Denmark?
Dried fish.
Oh.
You know,
yeah.
Stink pretty bad.
Yeah, it sued us.
Did you really tell the truth to your people in Denmark?
As to how things were with you.
Couldn't. Some
yes,
things they won't
I
believe.
Think we did.
Yes.
Because I don't think back on our time over there as a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course not.
So you feel that you didn't paint it too bright and you didn't paint it too bad, but maybe more or less as it was for you.
Yeah, I believe we did.
But then again, sometimes you probably know it yourself. You try to tell people something you saw, maybe something. I don't know.
Well, maybe I said something wrong, didn't I? Because I do think my wife was homesick for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Because it was different for me because I was out of the house all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lars, you mentioned that some people wouldn't believe some of the things.
You have to think about the story you're going to tell somebody before you tell it. Because some stories, you know, they sound outrageous for Danish people, but they're, you know, they're just everyday happenings in America.
Mm-hmm.
But people, they won't believe them here. So then you're better off not telling them if they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Now, how involved did you get in the American community? That is, did you ever join a union?
Yes.
Or did you have to join a union?
I had to join a union.
Did you have any feelings one way or about that? One way or the other about having to join it? Or did you simply accept that?
Well, I have accepted it, but I didn't believe in union. I never had to. I didn't believe in union back home here.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't do it over there either.
What about, did you join any American clubs, you know, that was away from your Danish friends? Did you join anything that you would say that this was something American, not because you were Danes going with other Danes?
Well, we were involved in quite a lot with the kids, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, baseball, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always called on to bake or cook something Danish. And we had a terrific time with the kids and the parents too. Lots of
that
nice
was something
people.
Really enjoyed.
Yeah, you better believe it.
The way of doing that with the kids.
Yeah.
Any scouting experiences you remember?
Oh, it was mostly, you know, day trips to
Disneyland.
Yeah, places like that. We were on a, what was it called? It was a school, university. Where they had a lot of horses.
Yeah.
That was a big experience. I liked that.
Did you ever participate in the political life in the United States?
No.
You didn't run for office or anything?
No.
Because we are not
citizens. We didn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that was going to. I should have asked this in the other way around. Did you ever consider becoming citizens of the United States?
Yes, we did.
We did. And we did go to school.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Did you take out first papers?
Pardon me?
Did you take out the first papers for citizenship?
Oh, did you change your mind before you got...
No, we actually didn't change our mind. The class stopped for some reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still here? Okay. There have to be 12 in order to go on with a class.
Yeah.
And we started out about 16, I guess. And then, you know, after a while, some of them just dropped out.
And then it just stopped.
And then the teacher, he said, I just can't go on unless you bring in some more.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we didn't know anybody, because our friends already had the citizen papers. So that was just the way it happened.
Mm. Did either of you take classes in English?
Yes, I did. In the very beginning.
Who was this? Who sponsored the class?
I don't remember.
I see.
That was a night school, though.
It was at the whole school at night.
Yeah.
Now you came from a Danish society where everybody is Danish.
Yeah.
And usually Lutheran, and with somewhat the same background. Suddenly you're thrown into a society where there are many different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Did you have any experiences or any opinions on what it was like to come into a society where there were so many different kinds of people? Either that someone might have been prejudiced against you, or possibly there were someone that you couldn't quite accept?
No, I think we did. I felt that everybody accepted us as
yeah.
we were.
Mm-hmm. They were really nice people.
Of course, we could hear and feel the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
how about you, Lars?
Well, we had, you know, I thought sometimes, you know, Catholic churches, it was kind of silly, but I didn't speak about it because they have it in their way and we have it in our way.
But you did notice that there was a difference from
yeah,
what it had
course,
been.
Of course.
In Denmark.
How old were you when you went to the States?
18, 20.
You were two years old?
Yeah, almost 2 years old.
Almost two.
Mm-hmm.
And you were?
4 years old, but I turned 5 2 months after we came.
Do you remember your first learning of English?
Not really.
It just happened.
I don't really remember not being able to understand people. I think I
what about your first school then?
I remember that.
Would you may we hear about
and would
your
you talk
school?
A little bit up so we can be sure to get you?
Well, Mom and Lars, they dropped me off at school and told me I was supposed to stay there all day. This was kindergarten, all this stuff. Mom didn't really know what to say to the teacher because the teacher couldn't speak Danish, of course. Mom couldn't speak the English. So she just left, and I thought it was because she didn't want me anymore. Because all these kids were here without their parents, so I thought that's some place they put kids they don't want anymore. So I screamed and cried all day long.
Well, when I came to pick her up, she said, "Oh, Mom, I thought that you didn't want me anymore. I feel so good." And the next day she was just, she kept asking, "Are you sure you're coming down to pick me up?" So.
Did you belong to any church while you lived in the United States? Did you go in for any church life?
Well, when we lived on Lincoln Avenue, yeah, there's this Lutheran church not too far from where we lived.
A few blocks?
Yeah, a few blocks. Well, we went to Sunday school every Sunday.
But you didn't. It didn't become a big important part of your lives?
No.
No, but that Sunday, it didn't seem religious.
No.
We had a lot of fun over there. We were in there maybe half a year or something.
Now, you said it didn't seem religious. Can you explain a little more what you mean by that?
You know, a lot of people, they say if you've been in Sunday school, then, you're very religious. And
yeah.
But it wasn't. It was really fun. We had a lot of fun.
Did you make friends with the young people in that?
Well, Donnie and Shelley, some of our friends there, we always played with them, and they went there too, so we knew them. And some of the other boys and girls there, they went to the same school as we did.
What kind of work did you do for Knudsen?
It was carpenter work. He had a regular carpenter shop. At times we were eight carpenters working there on the plate.
Were they all Danish or Scandinavian?
No. We were two, sometimes three Danish carpenters.
What kind of work did you do for Knudsen then?
In the carpenter shop. Was there something specific
shop?
Or?
Mostly the finished work I did in the office.
Oh.
Remodeling the office.
While you were in the United States, did you have any opportunity to see any other part of the States than the Los Angeles area?
Yeah, we went on camping trips.
Now, where did you go on the camping trips?
We went to Arizona once. Yeah. And then Lake Havasu. Yeah. And
the what?
Lake Havasu.
Oh, Lake Havasu.
Yeah. And then
yes.
Went to the mountains, Lake Isabella.
A few times.
Lake Isabella.
Yeah.
We were there quite a few times.
Yeah.
Did you visit any cities besides Los Angeles in that area?
San Diego.
San Diego.
Fresno.
Fresno.
Yeah. Bakersfield.
Yeah.
What was
the other one?
Yeah, all the small towns up the coast, you know,
yeah.
Malibu and
yeah.
In the coast.
Did you get to any other states except Nevada and Arizona and California?
No.
No.
A shame.
Seattle.
Oh, yeah, well, that was when you flew home. A
couple of hours.
Yeah, well, you've been there then.
Yeah, of course.
While you were in the United States, was there one person that maybe stands out in your mind for one reason or another? It can be a famous one, or it can be just an ordinary person. For any of you.
Well, for me, it was the last contract I worked for. His name was Mr. Coleman, Mr. Robert Coleman, in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
He was a real fine gentleman.
And you remember him?
Yeah.
case we meet a home. While we were changing the tape, Kirsten mentioned that you had an interesting job with Mr. Coleman. Would you mind telling us about how that was?
It wasn't with Mr. Coleman this started. I worked for Newsom in 18 months. And after that, I worked in Beverly Hills for the rest of the time. Six years. I built a house for Orbach, Mr. Orbach. And it took us about 3 years and 1 month to build that house.
That must have been some different house.
Yeah. It was almost a castle.
What about square footage? Do you remember that?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. No.
How big a house would you describe it as?
It was three stories and a basement. A lot of buildings around the house.
Mm-hmm. What triggered your desire or your wanting to return to Denmark?
Did you visit at all and then come back, or?
Yes, we was back. We went back once on vacation.
After 3 years, we went home for Christmas, 3 weeks, and that was just great.
You enjoyed that?
Yes, I sure did. And the year after that, for Christmas, we had Eric's parents over and visit us for 3 weeks, and that was nice too.
But then you started to think about returning here. Was there anything that finally triggered the decision, or did it just come about?
We were talking about selling the place we had in Southgate and move out to something called Hidden Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a friend of mine, he just bought a house out there. So we discussed either staying over there, buying that house in Hidden Hills, or going back here. And I guess it hit me one day on the freeway. I've been sitting here for a couple of hours. I said, no, I don't want to stay here anymore.
No.
If I want to keep working, I have to be in the area like Los Angeles,
mm-hmm,
in order to make a living. There's a lot of beautiful places over there, but it's kind of hard to make a living there. I guess that was what did.
And how long after you made that decision did you present the idea to your wife?
Right away. Same day.
And how did you feel?
Well, in a way I was happy, because I really wanted to go back home. But on the other hand, you know, you can't just wipe 8.5 years away. You have friends and memories. And, well, really had a lot of good times.
Did you discuss it with the children?
Yeah, we did.
And was there a reaction on your part?
I guess I didn't take it to, I didn't think very much about it. You know, it would be nice, and I like Danish food. Especially when farm was. But I remember the day we left, you know, the last day when on our way to the airport, I was really glad and happy. But the first night we were supposed to sleep here, I was really sad I missed it already.
No. But, so you were torn, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What
I
about
think,
you?
I think it was a harder decision to make coming from the States and back here than vice versa.
That's interesting.
You better
why?
Believe it was.
I can't explain why, but we talked it over and over again, and it seems to me that it was a harder decision to make.
Yeah, it was.
Because when we left from Denmark, it was not a final decision. But when we left from over there,
we both knew that that was final. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't go back there.
Mm-hmm. What about furniture and things? How much did you bring back from the United States?
Nothing.
What did you do with what the things you had accumulated?
We sold it. We had a garage sale and we sold it.
But we forgot to ask Lisa how she.
Yeah.
How did you feel coming to Denmark again?
Denmark again. Well, at first I was really looking forward to it because in '67 we were here for Christmas. I thought it was cozy and nice and no smog and everything. Not too many cars here. But as soon as we came, then I didn't really like it.
That's the only memory I have of Denmark before we came back.
Mm-hmm.
That vacation we had.
Yeah, he was too little to remember.
I think why Lisa didn't like it very much, that was because she had a hard time in school. Because that was English, her language.
Yeah.
And she had to learn things all over again.
Would each one of you give what you felt the reaction was of the people that you knew here in Denmark to your coming back? Family, friends, what was the reaction when you came home?
When we told them we were coming back?
Or
when you
came back?
Both.
Yeah.
Well, the day we decided to go back home, mm-hmm. or rather the day we sold the house, Erik and me decided we were going to call home. That's too good to write.
Mm-hmm.
So we called home and what did we do? Talk about 15, 20 minutes? No. We were crying about 15, 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but at least they found out we were coming home, so they were really happy.
And this was your family?
That was our family, mm-hmm. yeah. And of course I was in a hurry to write it
mm-hmm.
to my friends and our friends. And they were really happy and looking forward to it. And I'm telling you, when we stepped out of that plane, it was like a queen coming home. I had roses and flowers and the kids had all kinds of goodies and flags and everything. That was that's something you will never forget.
Erik, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't think so.
What was the reaction of your friends, your schoolmates in America when
you
told them?
I told my best girlfriend I was going to Denmark in Denmark. Why do you want to go to Denmark? She said, all that snow and everything, Eskimo. As I told her that wasn't true. And then I told her, do you know where Denmark is? Well, I think it's the capital of Sweden or Norway. I'm not sure. She said.
Well, then when you, now then when
Wait
you
a
got,
minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What about yours, Lars? What was right?
Well, I don't know. You know, I had a lot of good friends in my class. You know, there's always a couple of boys in the class that's the leading part, and I was a part of it. And when I lived, you know, I got cards. I don't know. I think they missed me a lot.
It
that was,
my
impression.
Yes. It was a big event in your lives then,
yes.
to make that decision.
What about your friends on the job, Erik?
There was one where I met at Knudsen, and him and his wife were both Danish, and we became friends. And I know they would like to go back home. But I guess they were afraid to come back there. Yeah, Mr. Coleman, I mentioned before, he just couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
He thought I was doing something way, way wrong.
Wasn't that him with the couch, honey? When you said goodbye, he gave you his card and said, if you ever come back, call
oh
on
yeah,
me first,
yeah.
before November.
And he was that type from the old school. He was kind of tough,
mm.
but he didn't want us to say goodbye to me. He was too soft for that anyway.
Well, then you come back here and the children have to start.
What about your friends? How did they feel? You had friends in the neighborhood that...
Yeah, I sure did. Well, it seems like every time I met somebody or talked to somebody, I made a new friend. I talk a lot, that's probably why. But of course, they didn't believe me, and really, they didn't want me to go. And that was really sad, because I missed them a lot. Uh-huh. We had a lot of good times together. I was bowling with some of the girls, and we had simply had a ball.
I thought it might be the cookies they missed.
Yeah, of course, that too. Then something funny happened, because one year for Christmas we were bowling, and the girls, they said something about it, going out for and have a Christmas lunch. And I was telling Erik, and Erik, he said, well, why don't you try to cook up a big Danish lunch? And I said, well, all right, I'll try. And I invited the girls over. And now, you know, our plates and our silverware and our stuff, and I thought that's going to be one of those sit down and eat. So I put up a nice table, and the girls walked in and they looked, my gosh, what is it? I said, well, that's Danish food. And one girl said right away, I don't think I like it, and I don't think I'll try it. And she was the last one that left. We just about had to roll her out in the car. She was about to bust.
So she had really enjoyed it.
She had a good time, and she kept asking me, do we have to wait for Christmas for that Danish food again? So that was fun.
Now, when you came back, Erik, did you have a job waiting for you, or did you have to go and find yourself a job again?
No, I didn't have a job waiting. So, we came back in first in December. And I didn't have in mind to go to work before after New Year. But I went to see one of the contractors I used to work for, just to say hello to him. And the next day I was working for him.
So you didn't have any problems as far as that was concerned. What do you do today?
I worked for him for about 6 months. Then I started my own business with another fellow, and we're still together.
And what is that business?
That's contracting.
And you build homes?
Yeah.
Mostly. Now, what about you? You had to start getting a house together again, Kirsten.
Yeah. I sure did.
And you live in a lovely home here, and I know that can't have been very long then that you've had to accumulate.
We've been here about 4 years. Mm-hmm. When we first came home, we moved into an old apartment, and we started house hunting right away. And Erik was looking for an old house to remodel, and I was looking for a lot and built a new house. So we didn't quite meet each other there. So after a while, we drove around with a real estate man and looked at the houses and talked about the prices, and they were high. So then one day I came home from work and he said, you still want a new house? And I said, yes, you do. Well, let's go. And we went out and looked at the lot and we bought it, and he started building the house himself.
So you have built this house yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
From the very beginning.
Now, what about you starting into Danish school? How much Danish had you forgotten, or you were so very little, could you speak much Danish?
No, I couldn't speak it at all.
We'll start with you, Lars, and then go to Liz. What was your reaction on having to get started here?
Well, I was at home for about 3 weeks, just to learn a few words, mm-hmm. So I could say, thank you, and hello. And then I thought it was kind of exciting to go to a new school.
Were the children different?
Yeah, they were. They were so interested in me because I couldn't say anything in Danish, and they thought it was funny. And I don't know, but I made it pretty good.
Was it difficult for you? Was it an unhappy time? Or?
Well, I had a lot of problems with. I didn't have I had 2 hours, extra lessons for about a half a year, in Danish.
Mm-hmm.
But since that, I have met him. And this year, at the, what do you call it, exam? Graduation.
Graduation, yes.
I got the highest grade you can get in Danish.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans for the future?
On Wednesday, I'm starting on high school.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any plans for what you eventually want to do?
I'd like to be a doctor.
And is the possibility there that this hope can come true?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. What about you, Liz, when you started back to the Danish school?
Well, I couldn't speak Danish very much either. Well, I was pretty shy at that time. And it made me extra shy because I wasn't able to speak Danish with them. I could understand most of everything they said to me, but I couldn't answer them. I had to answer in English, and they weren't very good at English at that time because, well, I started the 7th grade mm-hmm. here, and they have English from, they start having English in 5th grade, mm-hmm. so they'd only have had English for 2 years. But they were real nice to me, you know, helped me, and when we had breaks and everything, they always talked to me and introduced me to our teachers and everything. But German was hard, because they'd had German for, we started school in December, started having German in 7th grade, but they'd had German for 4 months, and I had problems catching on to the German because I couldn't speak Danish either, so I had to learn both things.
That must have been. Now, how far along in school are you again? You told us earlier.
I finished, English head school.
And are you working now?
No. The 1st of September I'm going to France for a year.
I see. And will you be studying there?
No. What's that called in English?
Au pair. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll explain. You will be working, you will be staying with the family in exchange for learning French. You will be helping in the house. Okay.
Yeah, but you will go to school.
Yeah.
And what kind of job do you see yourself doing in the future?
Well, I want to have something to do with languages. I want to be a correspondent.
And
start studying when I get back from France.
What languages do you
English
speak?
English and France. French. Well, I speak English fluently, Danish fluently, and a little French. I've had French for 2 years now, and German for 4 years.
The fact that you have spent some years in the United States, do you feel there's anything in your home now, or in your lives, I should say, rather than your home, that sets you apart from the Danes who have never left home?
Yes.
There is a difference? Can it be explained?
I think we talked about it first. What we have here in our little country, we sit quite a bit higher than anybody else. That's the way it seems to me. We appreciate this country more because we got something that they don't have over here. I think they have it, but it's out in the smaller communities then. You can't find it in a place like Los Angeles. And it's kind of hard to define what it is I mean.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if I want to walk by the sea, well, it takes 5 minutes. If I want to go in the woods, I can walk for 10 minutes, I'm in the woods. And I can always be by myself. That was something I tried in California. I remember once we drove for, I think it was for 3 hours. I mean, I want to find some place where I can be myself. It was just impossible within the 3 hours.
What about you, Kirsten?
Yeah. I don't know really how to explain it. I guess when you are born Danish, you're always Danish. Might sound stupid, I don't know. But to me, I mean, I love the years we were over there, and I wouldn't be without it. But on the other hand, I'm not sure if I, at the time we were ready to leave, if I had known what we went into, I'm not sure I would have gone.
Now, do you have regrets about the experiment of living in the United States? Do you have regrets?
No.
None at all.
No, absolutely no.
No, I wouldn't miss one day.
No.
These ideas.
We liked it. But to me...
I guess I could put it in a nutshell. It's a great place to make a living, but there's no place to live.
So that's a good one. I quote that one sometimes. Was there any one thing in the United States that you look back on as being maybe special in your lives? I don't know if I'm asking the question. Was there anything about the people or the country or what that maybe either good or bad has made a difference in your lives beyond the fact that you have come back home?
People are more open in America. Well, how do you explain it?
Do you find yourself then being more open here?
No.
Because you have been in America?
No, no.
Yeah, open in some ways. Open for certain impressions. And, you know, it's kind of hard to define that question.
How much contact do you have with the people you've got to know in the United States?
Well, we have quite a bit. Because we do have an awful lot of friends, and we still write back and forth. And another thing is, quite a few of our friends over there have been home here and visit us a few times. And
well,
that's
only the Danish people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. But they have been here.
Well, it's as if. A lot of our neighbors there from Oklahoma and Wyoming
mm-hmm.
and Texas and places like that. And they were really interested in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
When we left, you know, they were talking about maybe in some years we'll come and visit you. But, you know, born Los Angeles people, they weren't interested in it. You know, you're full of lies, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't think a little country like Denmark, that couldn't be anything besides Los Angeles. America.
There was two counted among our friends coming from Minnesota. And before we went back to Denmark, that they went back to Minnesota. And they were in California when we got there.
Yeah. Are you saying that the fact you come from someplace to California, that they would better understand the feelings you had than the ones who already were in California? You know, it didn't make any difference whether you came from Denmark, went to Los Angeles and went home, or you came from Minnesota to Los Angeles and went back to Minnesota.
No, I don't think they would better understand, but it seems like we fitted better
mm-hmm.
together.
I see.
Yeah.
Than the native.
Yeah, and some of the neighbors.
How much do you participate in Danish life now? Do you participate now? You're the master of your company, so you're not in a union, or are you?
No,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still in the call that Carpenters Association.
What about politics? Do you participate in politics in Denmark now?
I'm a member of that party. I believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you do vote and participate.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course we do, yeah.
Is there any desire to visit? Now you've indicated this was a permanent situation this time.
Yeah.
Any desire to visit in the United States?
I left her. What about the rest
of you? Yeah, we would like to go back once.
Yeah, and we said, that would be nice. And we are planning on someday.
Lars?
Well, first of all, I want to be done with my school. Maybe some summer vacation, but you never know. Maybe I'll go over there and make something big. If I go over there, I want to make it big, or I'll go home.
Yeah. No, I didn't necessarily mean to go. I meant just to go back and visit.
And visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll like that.
Yeah, I'd like to.
And Lisa?
When I finish my education, I'd like to go over there to live.
Oh, you would like to? You would consider staying in the nest?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I go there for vacation to see if I still like it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you return to Los Angeles?
Yeah.
You would. Is there something that we haven't asked you people, because we don't know you so well?
Would a Danish person coming into your house in any way recognize that you were in the States for 8 years?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so either.
You have so thoroughly gone back into the Danishness.
Yeah. Yeah, I have tried anyway.
Yeah.
Revolve in the hall.
You said our revolver in the hall?
Well, maybe the dog, yeah. We took her home from the space.
No, I don't think they would.
No, I don't think so.
They would catch that right away.
No, I don't believe so either.
No, they don't. Because if you talk to people, they don't recognize
you.
No. Different.
Did you pick up an accent when you were in the United States? A Danish accent. I mean an American accent with your Danish.
No, I don't think so. I think, well, the first half year I was back here, once in a while I got it mixed, mostly with tools. Some of the newer tools I didn't even know the Danish name for. And I guess being calling that thing with that name for 8 years, it's kind of things to call it something else.
We have just been talking about things that might have happened to the United States, and you said you lived through one of the earthquakes.
Yeah, we sure did. And that was rough. It was very, very early in the morning, about 6 o'clock. Erik just went in the shower, the kids were asleep, and I heard some funny noises. And the cabinet doors started slamming, and the shower doors. And out came Erik running with a towel around him, grabbed the kids, and I jumped out of bed, grabbed the kids, they were screaming, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And we jumped back into the middle of our big bed and sat there, all four of us. I don't know how long it took, but to me it seemed like days.
You kept saying, we're all going to die, we're all going to
die. Yeah, and I thought it was the end of the world. And it was just terrible. Everything was just flipping and flying. And,
February 1972.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then we found out afterwards it was an earthquake.
And that was in February 1972.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, all four of you.
Yeah.